Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Crosswires, the technology variety show that covers the cool things in tech. Doesn't necessarily cover the latest news, but we try and look at technology from a positive and ethical standpoint. Now, this episode is going to be interesting from a couple of points of view. First of all, we have a great panel. So let me introduce her as well, because of course we have the wonderful Jane, my co-host, and my beautiful fiance.
Hello, how are you doing, dear?
I am doing good, thank you. Managing all this this new technology. And of course, because it's an Apple event, we have reassembled the finest team in Apple podcasting. Alex is back with us from the interface. Hello, Alex.
Hi, good. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back recording another podcast with you guys.
Absolutely. It's great to have you. Now, you've got three podcasts. You've got UI Chat, Charging Status, and Creator Spotlight.
That's right, yep. So lots of different topics for different people, really. So,
yeah, and do go and check it out, and also go and check out Alex's YouTube channels as well, because although I'm not allowed to officially promote any EV videos or anything, Jay can tell you that it's a great video.
Oh, it really is, and I absolutely love it. Like, I learned a lot about a certain type of charging that James cannot talk about for a variety of reasons, and it helps me keep my head zooming down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so that's one reason. Great panel. Second reason it's going to be a great episode is because we're going to be talking about Apple's, what was it, Let Loose?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a title like Let Loose, Kick Off Your M1 Blues or something like that.
M1 Blues, that's terrible. I was thinking about just simple crushing it.
No, I could say Apple got crushed by the community.
Okay, we will talk about that. But yeah, we're going to be talking about Apple's most recent event. Now, we do miss a couple of weeks after events. So the reviews are out. People, including people on this panel, have had some hands-on time with the devices. And the hysteria has died down a little bit, and we've got a bit more factual information on the devices.
So are you saying that Alex got handsy with the iPads?
I don't want to know what Alex did with the iPads, but yes, no. Oh, jeez, Jay.
I am sorry. No, I'm not.
If Alex's partner is listening to this, you can whack Jay around the head the next time you see her. It's fine.
Yes.
Right. The third, and by no means final reason, but the third reason this is an interesting episode is, it's kind of a bittersweet moment, actually. This is our first episode that isn't recording on Squadcast. This is our first episode recording on Riverside. Now, look, we've been long-time Squadcast supporters. We aren't going to go into much in a very public forum about why we've moved, but we are trying Riverside, which has a huge benefit. It means we are live streaming to not only Twitch, we're also streaming to what is probably going to be a supporters audience live stream, where you'll be able to potentially come and join us on. Not every episode, but on some episodes, we'll potentially do call-ins. Now, our Twitch chat already said, but I want to be able to use all the fancy channel point effects and whack you over the head while we're streaming. That is one advantage of Riverside. None of that works because we're not going through OBS. Anyway.
Can I just say, by the way, as somebody who's like designed overlays for podcast recordings, I very much like their overlay. Like, because I like how it focuses on the guests, focuses on the chat, and it really gets you into just the meat and the potatoes.
Okay, awesome. I'll keep a tab. You just watch. So Jex is one of our Twitch community who's now keeping a tab of how many times she has to retroactively hit one. No, she can only hit me and Jay. Okay, we don't have that set up for podcast guests. Anyway, it's fine. So let's get into this a little bit, because this was an event. I've lost track of when this was. Was it May 7th?
I believe it was May 7th or around there, because that's when I found some reviews on it.
It was May 7th. I've completely lost track of when.
Yeah,
it was May 7th. It was May 7th because I think of the bank holiday in the UK on the 6th, I think.
Yes, that was right. Yeah.
That was it. Now, it was another virtual event. I know we talked about this in the last, and we talked about this, everyone. But I think we can firmly say now that I'm going to guess even for WWDC, I don't think we're going back to audience, in-person audience events with Apple.
I was listening to a podcast after one of the last events on this, and they made a good point. These events, as much as the community around it has been there to like, to be like the camaraderie or the meet people who are in the ecosystem, these events are primarily for the industry leaders,
yeah,
for news snippets, and sometimes for consumers who are interested, but it is not as much focus on the community. What I was reading is like John Gruber went to a location in New York City where they had demo stuff set up, and I think that's how they're doing that. One of the benefits is I could see them possibly creating more community focused areas around the world, and or having like little like pop-up shops, even not same day, could be like, hey, we're gonna bring some people together, because I know they've been doing like things like the Vision Pro Summit where people could come out to the labs or people could come out to different summits. Maybe they're focusing it where these events are announcing, and the community aspect is going to be outside of it in a periphery event.
I think so. I mean, Alex, you're maybe more of a member of a press than we are. Is that, do you think that's the sort of thing that Apple are going to start doing? Have you heard anything that, I mean, did they have anything in London, for example?
They had one at Battersea Power Station. So Apple have got some sort of headquarters there and quite a big Apple store. And I noticed there was a guy from Mac Rumors, I can't remember his name, but he's from London, and he was at that thing they had there, the pop-up shop essentially, with the iPads sometime after the event, I think pretty much after it. So it makes sense, doesn't it? It just means that people haven't got to travel halfway across the world to go, and they could go and do it, which is quite good from an environment point of view, really. But means people can go locally and hang out with people locally. So
can I bring up an interesting perspective on this, by the way, as somebody who's been to BlizzCon and has actually covered BlizzCon? I know BlizzCon is a Blizzard focused event, but I know something interesting. I went to BlizzCon 2019, very much focused in Anaheim, California. Then during COVID, they went to a virtual BlizzCon, and it was actually pretty amazing. You got to see performers and people who submitted things all around the world, people who either from disability, travel, or a variety of reasons could not make it to and it was such a amazing event. They've gone back to a local event, but I really loved that COVID BlizzCon, because again, I got to co-stream, I really got to be involved with it, and I kind of like virtual events for a lot of things, and then having small communal meetups or groups in a local area.
And that's it. I mean, obviously, Apple's, these meetups for Apple events are for the press. They aren't for fans like us. We couldn't just walk into that Battersea event. I didn't know there was an Apple store at Battersea, though.
Yeah, I think it's the recent thing, but they got a headquarters upstairs as well.
Okay.
Some sort of offices. So, yeah.
Let's talk about, I think the first thing we need to talk about is this advert, ad for the new iPads. Well, particularly for the iPad Pros, right? How much controversy can one advert for one iPad cause?
So when I watched it live, I didn't even think, I just thought, oh, that's quite cool what they're doing. They're sort of saying that all of this stuff is inside this iPad. I didn't even cross my mind that people go bananas over it. I don't know. It seems a little bit blown out of the water, possibly, but I'm interested to see what you guys think.
Well, I have seen people mention that other companies have done a similar ad to this, and that this is not the first time they've done it. So the concept's not a new one. It's not original to Apple. I mean, and if you go back to Pirates of Silicon Valley, good artists copy, great artists steal. Apple's not always known to be the innovators and new ones with the ideas, but I will say it was a little bit in poor taste because it was destroying some amazing devices. And instead of like trying to say, hey, we can do all this stuff, because I still prefer analog sound, even recorded, I still prefer analog sound in a lot of ways. Like I still believe you can do a lot of good with digital, but you still can't replicate some of the sound. And I think part of it was the whole idea of like, you're destroying all this. A lot of what you're listening and reading and on the iPad was created with all these things. We were recording it live. Well, not after the event, but we were doing a coffee chat. And I remember one of our mods definitely was cringing a lot because he's huge into music. And it was crushing it. I think, though, what has happened, because there were some reports, I think it was either The Verge, who said Apple is no longer the darling. They're no longer the, we're going again up against the man, like in the 1984 ads even. They are now the man. They're now the corporate behemoth. And I think the community has basically, Apple could do no wrong before, but they now...
I don't think that's been the case for a long time for Apple.
No, but it shows that, like, they almost, somebody in the media department thought, didn't think about all the repercussions of it. And I know it sounds overblown, but it was, again, destroying some things that, like...
Symbolically destroying musical instruments and books and things like that. I think I'm more aligned with Alex's view that it was an ad. I get the sensitivity around it, and yes, it might have been. Well, there's an old. I'm trying to remember. It's an old Power Mac ad, and it was shown. It was used as like a director video, Shockwave director demo in the iMac introduction when they were showing off the blue and white G3s, but the G3 before that. They were showing off the power compared with Pentium 2s. And we had all this stuff flying into this old Mac. That made a lot of sense. Like, oh yeah, all this stuff. If they'd have done it, maybe like all the stuff flying into the iPad rather than being crushed. But I guess the idea was to emphasize how thin. So I don't think the concept was bad, but I think maybe they didn't gauge the reaction. They have apologized, but I also don't think that the media reaction was... I mean, you know that it's been taken notice of when Samsung do an ad trying to parody it. And I'm like, Samsung, you haven't even got proper tablets, but I say proper tablets. They've got tablets, but the problem is, I'm sorry, Google Android is still, to my knowledge, is still not anywhere near at the level of iPadOS in terms of tablet functionality.
No, I don't think it is.
And I think that was the biggest thing, is if they had not shown actually destroying things, because I'm somebody who, I've replaced a lot of stuff with my phone and my tablet and technology. But I can appreciate those devices. And I think if they had not shown it as destroying something, and especially when we're moving into, a lot of people are wanting to do more DIY stuff, a lot more physical items, and they're showing a destruction, maybe it could have been a lot better. And again, and also it could be maybe they wanted to get off of the Trump trial news, so they had to find something to get upset about.
Well, there we go. Let's not get too political, Jade.
Exactly. And Jack said, make the point, absorbed and replaced instead of destruction. Sends a better message. I agree.
I absolutely, yeah. And I think they could have easily done it. You know, maybe something like, Odo from Star Trek Deep Space Nine sort of morphing into. But no, we're not going to replace Rene Arbogen. We're not going to do an AI version of him. Anyway, so
let's. Can I add one final point that I saw?
Yes.
When Apple is trying to make a claim that they're being better for the environment, destroying is not a good thing to then be aligning yourself with.
Good point.
You're already called yourself out, I think, the last WWDC about some of your environmental practices that you're trying to do better on.
Fair point. Alex, before we move into what Apple actually did announce rather than what they got yelled at for, any final thoughts that we had from you?
The only thing I could think of is that it is an ad at the end of the day. Like a lot of, if you look at the movie production world, the amount of vehicles that get destroyed when they produce car stunts, that's a horrific waste of everything. It's just that we don't really see that. Whereas this is like, if you even like scrape the surface on how much stuff is wasted and how much stuff is destroyed when you're trying to produce ads at the end of the day, I don't know. They're trying to make a message and then. I don't know. It's a little bit overblown, but it is what it is, I suppose. So.
And I think it's really interesting. I mean, as we're recording this, you know, it's really interesting with what we're about to talk about with all the power of these chips and with Microsoft. Now, we haven't, I haven't really dug into this, the new Copilot Plus PCs, which are ARM-based PCs, and they are saying, they are claiming that they are going to outperform a MacBook Air. Well, and go on.
Adding to that, I can go behind a little behind the scenes. You and I are migrating our currently x86 architecture servers that we run the website and our Nextcloud instance on to ARM-based servers. And that really, and we're going to get more performance and better energy efficiency.
Yes, but that, I mean, that, it makes sense. It's more, it makes lots of sense, but I think the big difference is going to be, first of all, some really, really worrying privacy stuff going on with this Copilot stuff. This, what's it called, Alex? The thing that they're doing where it's going to record every recall, where it's going to record every single thing you do on your PC for you to then go back.
Oh, I have used app like that early on, and I did not like those because.
But the reason I'm mentioning that is because we're going to, let's talk. Which order did they do the iPad Airs first, or did they do the Pros first?
They did the iPad Air first, I believe.
Let's start with the iPad Airs then, because this, to be fair, this is a category of iPad, but I probably most align with, because my current iPad is an iPad Air. It's a fourth gen iPad Air. So no M series chip for me. Okay. I mean, to me, these seem like a really good bump in. So it's gone to be M2. The FaceTime cameras moved to the right. So what I would say is the right spot.
The correct spot, yeah.
The correct spot, really, for a tablet. I think back when because it was the iPad 2 that came with the camera, I think at that point, everyone was holding their iPads portrait.
Yes.
Now people are using them as, you know, in landscape mode. And I think that camera placement makes a lot. It's obviously got center stage. The biggest change here is we've got the 11-inch. So that bumps it up just a tiny little bit from the 10.9 it was before. Tiny bit. It's probably not going to be noticeable. But I think the big one here is this is the first time we've gotten a bigger iPad in the non-pro category.
So this is what I've been waiting for a very long time. So my iPad Pro actually is a 2017. And I've always thought my next one I wanted to be a big iPad. But I can't justify spending £1,500 on an iPad Pro just to use YouTube on it and stuff. So I'll be waiting for a big iPad that's cheaper. And this seems really good. So I'm glad they've done it.
And you know, storage, I think we bought. Am I right? We bumped storage a little bit on these as well?
That's right. The base is now 128. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Now, I think 128 gig, especially given that these have got USB-C.
Mm.
And a lot of apps are supporting editing off external drives. I think, actually, pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
I was reading on a couple of reviews on this. Some of the biggest complaints on this are that it's not OLED and that it has raised the. Am I right, or did I misread this? That it has raised the price a bit, the iPad Airs.
I can't remember how much they used to be. They're $599 UK now.
No, but it's the same. It's the same price.
Okay. It's the old. Oh, I get it now. It is the old iPad that has lowered its price.
Well, we'll come to that because that is a really interesting thing. Is that out of that 10th gen iPad? Is, as you said, no OLED. But again, the OLED tech, it has always, the fancier display tech has always been in the Pro first.
Yep.
It will come down to the iPad Air. But I would say, now, Alex, look, me and you both have iPad Air. No, you've got an iPad Pro, sorry. You've got an iPad Pro.
Yep.
11-inch. Jay's got a 12.9-inch iPad Pro, pre-M1 as well.
Yeah, pre-M1.
I've got a 10.5-inch iPad Pro, actually.
Oh, okay. So you're not even on one of the new design ones. You're on the
older one. Yep.
Right. Wow. Okay.
I honestly am looking at these and I'm going to get my next iPad when I need an iPad because these things last so long nowadays. I'm going to go with an iPad Air and probably the 11-inch. I've got a reason, though, trying to fit an iPad a 13 inch iPad into my bag is hard.
Can I put a little pause there? Can I suggest we talk about what iPads we're going to potentially in our future buy after we've gone through the whole lineup?
Good shout. Then, yep, let's go back to where.
So iPad Air 6. Now, a lot of reviews, some people are saying it's not as thin and light, which makes sense. Now, they're saying it's more, like, this is annoying. They're saying people complain it's more expensive than the last patch iPad 10. Yes, because it's a better device.
Yes.
It, in every single way. For a start off, it's got better USB-C support. I think, and I might be wrong on this. In fact, no, I'm not wrong. The iPad, the 10th gen iPad is USB-C, but it's only USB 2.0. Like the 15, the iPhone 15 is only USB 2.0, whereas the 15 Pro is USB 3.
Yeah, it says here, USB-C port is up to 2.0, up to 480 megabits per second or megabytes per second.
Megabits.
Yeah, megabits per second. Yeah.
Now look, for someone who's using a, first of all, this means that every single iPad that Apple sell is now USB-C.
Mm-hmm.
Which that is good.
Makes absolutely, because that gets it and puts in line with the iPhones now and the Android. And I mean, it really means that things are now much better. You don't have to get new cables for everything.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I was really happy about, and people might see this in the social clips. I realized that a thing I bought to use headphones on my iPad Air will now work as a TRRS adapter for my iPhone, which means if you have a fancy audio interface like we do, plug that bit into your iPhone or iPad, plug that into the Vocaster, and we can put phone calls and stuff onto our live stream, and I can record from the iPhone.
Nice. So I more was saying that if you're going to go drawing, do weigh some of the advanced features of the iPad Pro if you need those. And honestly, that is a good point.
We haven't even talked about the iPad Pro yet. So
I know, I'm just saying they were saying that's one of the reasons why you might want to consider.
I think you're right. I mean, certainly, but for me, the iPad Air, I think if you're not on a budget and as Alex said, you don't want to spend the money on a £1,500 iPad Pro because you probably don't need that feature set. Now, Alex, I assume, are probably going to be content consumption. I know you're like me and you edit your podcast audio on your iPad.
I'm not anymore, no.
No? Oh, what? No. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, Alex. No, I'm joking. What? I mean, maybe that's a better question, man. What do you use your current? Actually, no, let's come back to that when we talk about what products. Exactly. Let's look. But there's one very important question I think we need to start with. So, because one of the questions we're going to be asking on each of these devices is, what version of Wi-Fi do they support? Now, Alex, am I right? This is on the Air. It's 6, Wi-Fi 6.
The iPad Air is Wi-Fi 6E.
Oh, it's 6E. That's right.
H2.11AX. Okay. But I'm not 100% sure if it supports 6 gigahertz.
Oh, interesting.
But well, then I'm not buying if it won't support Wi-Fi 7.
Well, we're going to come to that because this is a rolling question. But why would it be 6E if it didn't support 6 gigahertz?
They haven't specified. It just says simultaneous dual band. I'm not 100% sure. It doesn't actually specify. So it would be up to someone to test that when it's out. But yeah.
Ah, very interesting. It might make sense. Anyway, so look, I think my iPad Air is a great choice of device. Alex, any thoughts on from what they basically went through on this? Because it's basically a bit of a design bump and a nice jump to the M2, right?
It's like a facelift. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I had some hands-on time with it the other day, and it's fine. Like, it's a really nice device, and I haven't used the old iPad Air, but as a replacement for my iPad, it'd be pretty good. I think they've done quite a good job with it.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see the new keyboard? Because they've released a new keyboard accessory for this, haven't they?
They have, yeah. The only thing I've noticed is the trackpad. Have they released a new keyboard for the iPad Air, or is it the iPad Pro? The new keyboard's for the iPad Pro. I think the same keyboard is for this one.
Right.
And because of how thin the iPad Pro is, which we'll get to, the keyboard for that only works with that.
Right, yeah, and it's still an expensive thing. But again, iPad Air, good proposition, $599 starting point for 128 gig of storage. Again, Let's come back to use cases in a bit. Let's talk, though, about... I think we have to move on to the iPad Pro.
Oh, I can confirm. Yeah, Magic Keyboard for iPad Pro, the Magic Keyboard for the iPad, and then there's the Folio that's for the 10th gen iPad.
Yeah, gotcha. So there's a whole line of keyboards.
Accessories.
And that, again, is something we're going to talk about because the pencil lineup is going to be fun to discuss. Yeah,
we'll pencil it in for later on in the episode.
Gosh, oh my gosh. Let's talk about the new iPad Pro. Now, they aren't calling this a generation. They're calling this the iPad Pro with M4. Now, some of you might be thinking, hold on a second. M4? But we've just got M3, and we don't have any M4 Max. I might be wrong here. Now, Jay challenged me on this assertion, but I want to put a caveat on this assertion. This is the first time Apple have debuted a new M series chip on a non-Mac product.
Yep.
That's big.
I did hear somewhere, I can't remember where, that apparently the M3 design hit a technical roadblock. Therefore, they had to move to the M4. I can't remember where I read that or heard that. Might have been on the Vergecast, I think. But they said there's some sort of information out there that the sort of the chip design of the M3 had an end date, basically.
Ah, interesting. So it might be perfectly fit for purpose for MacBook Air, Mac. Well, we haven't got Mac Minis with M3 yet, have we?
I don't think
we do. I think they're still... Can someone just double check?
I'm doing it right now.
That's just the M2, that one. Yeah.
Because I think the only devices that... I think it's the MacBook Pros, the MacBook Air, and the iMac, which are M3-based, if I remember correctly.
No. Oh, wait, no. Sorry. I didn't misspoke.
Oh, my Studio is M2.
Yeah, the Mini is M2.
An yep. M2 Pro. Because I've got an M2 Pro Mac Mini that's doing everything for this right now. And honestly, I love it. I've got an M3 MacBook Air, and that thing is just... Battery life is incredible. But that makes a lot of sense. If they could not... Because obviously it's going to have to be effectively maybe a more optimized chip for an iPad. So maybe they couldn't get the M3 design into something small. I don't know.
Yeah, but this would have all been planned years in advance. Anyway, but yeah.
So it's very interesting. Now, it's still got all the same features. It's got... Obviously, Thunderbolt 4 / USB 4. That makes it for a portable video editing station being able to connect to fast storage and now, Alex, at that sort of speed, because that's 40 gigabits, isn't it? Yeah, 40 gigabits on Thunderbolt.
That's what it's saying. Yeah, 40 gig up to USB 4. Yeah, Thunderbolt 3 up to 40 gig. Yeah.
So, in theory, and I know you can buy these, you could connect that to a 10 gig network adapter.
Well, you could even an SFP
you
plus
could,
adapter,
couldn't
yeah.
Oh, what? To go, SFP plus? In fact, actually, could
that's
you
10
go
gig.
To...
Yeah.
That is 10 gig. You could probably go to... Is it QSFP for 25?
I think so. Yeah, I should know this,
I was going to say, I was thinking I was asking the right person. Look at Alex's smile. I was like, don't ask me. I don't really know this stuff. I use Netgear routers at home. That's going to be the shock revelation, is it? Alex is using Netgear Orbeez. That's going to be a
from 2005, probably.
Yeah. No. Alex is on the Linksys WRT54G.
As long as you do WDDWRT on it, I'm okay. Yeah.
There you go. Nice little reference there. But the point is that connectivity, plug that into a good Thunderbolt 3 or Thunderbolt 4 dock. You can do external displays. You can do your drives. You can plug that into audio capture and video capture devices. Now, with the changes that came in with, I think with iOS 16 or 17, you can actually do video capture now.
I didn't know that. That's quite cool.
You can there's been people Twitch streaming.
Oh.
From these.
Interesting.
It's kind of cool, actually. There's an app, I believe this is the case, there's an app that will let you effectively, you plug in a capture device like an Elgato Cam Link or something similar. And you can then use your iPad as an external monitor to play your games on.
I've seen that. And then people have been taking that into the Vision Pro.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Because you can capture the screen. Wait, no?
You can capture the screen or use an app on a local, like, but there are people having, like, developing apps. And I think there might even be one out. We don't have Vision Pros, but someone was playing their Nintendo Switch on Vision Pro in front of their TV. That could have been playing the Switch, but they just, like.
That is cool. Such an interesting concept. But I think
And Jex wants to say, says, don't ask me, my brain yells, Thunderdome, every time you say Thunderbolt. It's very distracting.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, Thunderbolt is such an interesting history because it was an Apple and Intel co-development. Mm-hmm. And then it really, for a long time, felt like it was just on Apple devices. And remember, the original Thunderbolts 1 and 2, were not USB-C wasn't really a thing at this point. They were using the mini DisplayPort connector for Thunderbolts 1 and 2, which were 10 gigabit and 20 gigabit respectively, which still is kind of crazy. But anyway, this iPad, now Alex, I take it you've seen the iPad Pro in person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. How thin is it? I mean, is it what they're claiming?
It's ridiculous. Like, I picked up the Air first and the Pro, and it's like, it doesn't weigh anything. I mean, obviously, they've done such a cool thing with it. Like, it honestly feels so much of a leap forward than anything they've done recently in terms of its just lightness. Now, I don't know how that's going to be in terms of rigidity and sort of its robustness, but it looks cool. So,
oh no, are we, as long as we don't get another, what is, was Bendgate?
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point because, I fix it, I have done a teardown.
Oh, really?
And actually, I think one of the Apple execs even addressed this. I'll put this in the show notes. But what they've done is they put like some framing inside it.
Oh, okay.
Almost like a rigid, like a spine to stop that from happening.
Nice. That's good.
So, and apparently that's kind of a design. It's, but yeah, impossibly thin. Now, that means, of course, that you're going to, obviously, as you mentioned, you can't use the existing keyboard accessory. So it's a new one, which does look really cool.
Yeah,
I'm amazed that we've got it that thin. I mean, obviously, now, Jay, you put something in the show notes here. It's just something I'm curious about. Single USB-C port, potential lot behind the future. Are those two separate points?
Two separate points, but they said, like that was some of the gripes that Wired had, was that there's a single USB-C port. The addition capability of a single USB-C port on an iPad? Like, how many devices could you thread or dongle into it?
Well, but it's Thunderbolt. It's Thunderbolt. But I don't think, I mean, like, for that use case, I don't think you're looking at potentially a limit that someone's going to need to worry about. You look at, like, things like the CalDigit TS4. Is it the TS4? TS4 dock. Let me just pull this up quickly.
And yeah, Jack said, I mean, you wouldn't keep your iPad in a back pocket anyway, would you? So the risk of sitting on it would be theoretically smaller. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, but these things are, you know, you want something thin and light. You know, if you want a more sturdy device, go for a laptop, I guess. So hang on.
And Jack, that's also another reason why I'm glad it's thinner, because Jack mentioned about, I'm very accustomed to the pockets of lady trousers and you can't fit anything into those anyway. And yeah. My iPad is hard to fit into anything.
Your iPad's hard to fit into flipping the aircraft. You have to add additional weight for your right. So here we go. So the TS4 Thunderbolt dot from CalDigit. Okay. So let me just get this right. It has 18 ports. If I'm getting this right.
Wow.
So it's got, okay. Yeah. This is what Thunderbolt 4 allows for, folks. Okay, so you've got microSD and SD. You've got audio combo out. You've got multiple USB-C outs on the front. You've got USB-A on the front. You've got four USB-As on the back, a display port, audio in and out, and then you've got 2.5 gig Ethernet and lots more Thunderbolt ports on the back.
Whoa, what's the price, though? I'm just asking, just because that's the other.
Well, let's have a look.
Because I do get their point. Without having to buy extra stuff, you are limited by a single USB-C port.
Well, yes and no, though, because here we go. Availability is... It is $360 in the US, £325 in the UK, and €325 in Europe. And the EU price excludes VAT, though. Now, but Jake, that's a very fair point, except when something like this, okay? This, I think, was about £60 or £70. So that's
So, I mean, it's still... It is still a cost. You just got to keep in mind. I'm just putting the
yes, but you have to. The thing is, I don't know if I the point they're making, I think, is unfair in the tablet class. Do any of Samsung's devices have more than one USB-C port?
That's a good question.
I mean, okay, your sister's just got a new Lenovo tablet. Yeah. You're going there tonight, yeah?
Yeah.
Honestly. Homework for a podcast, and we'll put this into the show notes. Get a photo of that tablet. How many USB-C ports does it have?
I will, and that's a good point. I'm just we are living in like in a lot of in a dongle world in a lot of ways, and I'm just trying to be mindful of that part. But yeah, and the other thing that Wired said was that the potential they're saying the potential of the hardware felt like it was locked behind future software updates or updates to apps because they're built for the. So wondering like why would you buy this now? Because it's not going to get you much of a performance upgrade compared to what you already had.
It depends what you've already got though, doesn't it? So, you know, that's a very, very interesting point. Let's actually, first of all, let's loop back to that because I want to talk about the display. Because the display, now, this is a, what do we call it, a tandem OLED.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Again, we've got one person here who's experienced this. It's basically two OLED panels sandwiched on top of each other with clever stuff to make it bright. Yep. Is it as good as we say, Alex?
The only thing I noticed, I put the Air and the Pro next to each other, the harshness of the white on the screen was, it looked more harsh than the iPad Pro, if that makes any sense. It looked more natural on the iPad Pro.
On the iPad Air, you mean?
No, it looked more natural on the Pro.
Oh, okay, interesting.
When you had them side by side,
right? Okay,
you could just tell that the colors weren't. They looked more normal.
Can I ask a clarification question? Did either of them have True Tone turned on?
I don't know.
It's a very good question, actually.
Yeah,
but they both will support True Tone.
Yes,
but it's whether or not they had it turned on. That's a really good question. Yeah, I think the brightness levels, was it 1,000? No. Might be ridiculous amounts of brightness. We should have got these facts together, but can someone just check on the brightness levels on those two devices, the nits? And I don't mean the type that you get at school.
So the Pro, both the Pros can do 1,600 nits peak at HDR and 1,000 at standard and XDR. So
now that's impressive. That is impressive for an iPad, because one of the things I struggle with my iPad, if I do this, folks, if I want to go out on a Sunday when I'm doing a podcast edit and go to a pub and sit outside if it's a nice day, that's where I start to struggle because my iPad's bright. My iPad Air 4 cannot keep up with that brightness. I typically go inside.
Well, what's quite interesting, this one's got that matte finish like the big Pro displays.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You can spec it with a nano texture display, but weirdly only on the terabyte and 2 terabyte versions. Don't know why.
I guess that's for thinking that's the price point, isn't it? But we would want that. But again, now what storage is that? Is that 256 gig that starts at? Or is that still
256 on those two, yep.
Okay. Again. Now the fact, I mean, does it blow anybody else's mind that you can get 2 terabytes of storage in something that thin?
It does.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And SSD are / flash storage.
Well, it's SSD. It'll be NVMe. Yeah.
But still, NVMe that is it pretty phenomenal.
It's just the size of a thing. And again, what, 11 and 13-inch models?
Yep.
Now, again, Wi-Fi 6E. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But it's in, I think, Jay, you're... I think, I mean, look, I really like the design of this thing. Am I right, Alex? We've put the cameras in the same. We've put the camera in the right place again. You know,
yeah, it's a landscape camera. Yeah,
that makes so much more sense. But both models have center stage now, which is great. I think the iPad Pro does have the LiDAR scanner, whereas the it does not. Yeah,
they have removed one of the cameras there. Have you seen that?
I noticed that. Yeah, yeah. They did remove a camera. But here's a question, honestly. I think it's got the 48 megapixel camera, hasn't it? From the back, from the 14 as its main camera. I think
it's got a 12.
Oh,
it's got a 12 megapixel camera.
Okay,
that's the true. But here's the true depth camera. Sorry, actually.
Oh, that's the front camera.
And then the back camera is 12 megapixels as well.
Okay. Yep. So, Jay, go on.
Two things to note, because I didn't even think about this. And I saw this in the reviews. The iPad Pro has Face ID. The iPad Airs have Touch ID. And the Pros have 4-speaker audio in all 4 corners and 4 studio quality microphones, whereas the Air has landscape stereo speakers and 2 microphones.
Right. Okay, now, to be fair, that's always been the distinguisher. The iPad Pro has always been one to have Face ID. Touch ID, do you know what? Touch ID on the iPad Air, at least on the 4th gen, it does look, it works well.
Yeah.
Because yeah,
I've got Touch ID on my iPad Mini as well. It works really well.
Of course, yeah, because the iPad Mini, it's like a mini version of the...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yep. It does work, because that's where your finger's going to be to turn it on. It works.
Yep.
Face ID works on the iPhones, and it, you know, again, it works well on the Pro, especially now in landscape mode. But it's fine. It to me, that's, and it makes sense that you're going to have those jumps. Again, if these are the studio quality microphones that are in the MacBook Air, they are good microphones. We recorded an episode with Jay the MacBook Air. Oh yeah, you were there for it. Were you there for it?
I can't remember.
Hugo of Masterhost.
That was with Hugo from Masterhost.
Oh, okay.
The audio quality was astounding from a MacBook Air mic. I mean, I know, because I think you've got MacBook. You've got
I've got M2.
M2, which I think has the same mics. It is more than adequate. And if that's the same quality microphone they put into the iPad Air, this thing starts to become a really powerful tool for creators. Now, okay, where do we want to go? Do we want to talk... the Apple Pencil Shuffle. That's not a new product, by the way. Do we want to talk Apple Pencil, or do we want to talk Pro Apps?
Let's do the Pencil first.
Okay. So, we have a new Apple Pen. The Apple Pencil Pro. All right. I'm throwing it out to you two. What, Alex, again, I'm assuming you've gotten to try this.
Yeah, very briefly, yeah. The little... I think the only thing I tried was this, you can squeeze it, and it will open up a little menu thing. That's the only feature I tried out, because I couldn't remember what else it did on the spot. But I think people are going to get a bit confused, because there's 4 now. But yeah.
Yeah, that's my concern. That's my concern as well. The other thing it's got is this sort of tilt sensor where you can adjust the angle. Now,
Okay.
I'm not an artist. My Apple Pencil is used inside a ferrite to scrub audio and get rid of audio. Mostly Jay's audio, to be fair.
I gave him the bird for that.
Hey, this is a video podcast. We no longer have to sacrifice. We need to decide if we're actually going to publish this as a video, by the way. We will.
I think we still should, but we'll say that. But also for the audio listeners, though.
Yeah. Anyway.
Exactly. And Jack said, silence is a lady. I see how it is. Yep.
Yeah. No. To be fair, I have to cut much of my own audio out. And anyway, we'll start to see. Right.
But, that's one Von Camera for James. That is.
I'm liking having this live audience, by the way. How's everyone else? As a quick aside, how's everyone feel? I don't feel under pressure doing this live to Twitch. What do you think, Alex? Because it's the first time you've done this live.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I like how we can just do the Twitch side, not to worry about having, like, because I've done so many complicated things. I did 189 episodes or so of podcasts live to Twitch.
It's difficult. It's hard. Anyway, let's go back. But we've got the Apple Pencil Pro, which is only compatible with the new Airs and the new Pros.
Well, it does work with the iPad Air Sorry, you are right. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah.
I forgot the iPad Air only had an M2. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Well, that's been the jump, hasn't it? It's M2s for the Airs, M4s for Pros. So you've got that. Now, that only works on most devices. What's interesting is the existing Apple Pencil, the second gen, I think that won't work on the Pros. Now, it will work on the Airs, I think.
No, so the iPad, Apple Pencil second gen, it doesn't work on any of the new stuff.
Right.
The USB-C Apple Pencil, that weird one, works on them, which is so odd. I think it might be to do with the wireless charging.
I think you are right. Yeah, they must have had to make adjustments to the wireless, because that USB-C one can't wireless charge, it just USB-C charges.
That's right.
Now, in fairness, because it's USB-C charging, at least that means you're not having to stick it in the end.
Yeah, yes.
I don't think you can even do that. I think it slides out to reveal USB.
Yeah. It's a socket you plug in, so...
So it's not as bad as the original first gen, where you literally risked snapping your Apple Pencil because you had to put it in the bottom.
That made me and then having to not lose the nub, and then chocolate would like to play with that cap, and oh my gosh, I almost lost the cap one time.
For reference, for maybe our listeners who don't have the same history as our Twitch streamers do, chocolate was Jay's cat. One of Jay's many cats, I should say. And a very, very missed pet. So,
and the USB-C Apple Pencil and the first generation work with the first, second, third, and fourth generations of iPad Pros. I'm looking at the Apple spec sheets right now.
Okay, interesting. I'm curious about how the first generation works with the newer iPad, but. I'm confused.
Me too, well, honestly. Because
they've listed it as generation. They've listed it as iPad Pro 11-inch, first, second, third, and fourth. Whereas the first generation iPad Pro is actually the 9.7-inch.
It is.
Yep. That's not compatible with the USB-C ones.
Okay, so. I am so confused on all.
Oh, is it not? Okay. So what's compatible with the USB-C iPads?
The third iPad Air.
That makes sense. Yeah, when it moved to USB-C,
that makes sense. So I think
Did the third gen move to USB-C? I'm now utterly confused.
It's showing third on the,
because they brought back the iPad Air name during the COVID time.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
I remember that, but I don't know what it. I can't remember. You know,
but the point is that the first gen Apple Pencil. Is lightning only. Now, it will work with the iPad 10th generation, but via a weird adapter that you have to get. Maybe that's why it can work with older stuff, because you can use the adapter.
Well, it's got two asterisks next to the 10th gen. If I scroll down to the bottom, it does say here, required to work with the 10th USB-C adapter. That's the only model it has that asterisk on. Hang on, what is the iPad Air 3rd gen then?
Yeah, I'm confused.
I've lost track.
Basically, you might want to...
Oh,
the iPad Air third... a time with Apple Genius.
So the iPad Air 3rd gen looks like the iPad Pro 10.5 one that I've got.
Oh, but with USB-C?
No, it's got Lightning.
Okay. So how can that work with the... What? With a USB-C pencil?
No, that works with the first gen pencil.
Oh, first gen. Right, that makes sense. Right, okay.
When did this come out then?
Okay. that's fine. Well,
I've lost track.
I remember that iPad Air.
It was 2019, just before COVID.
Basically, I am glad Apple's moving to using the chip denominations and not the actual generation. Oh my god!
Now, this is the iPad that brought the iPad Air name back. Then,
that's right. Yes, because it was the new iPad Air at that point. Yes, you are right. So But the USB-C one, so the second gen will work with basically the fourth gen Air, the fifth gen Air.
Yep.
And then any of the 11 and 12.9-inch USB-C.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, right.
We will include a link in the show notes to the Apple page to show you
the choose a pencil page, yeah. It's complex. But... In theory, though, what should start to happen is the first-gen pencil should go away soon. you would not need to buy that unless you've got a 9th gen or older iPad, really.
Well, still, if I wanted to buy a pencil, that's the only one I could use with my one.
Of course it is.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But interestingly, not on your Mini.
Oh, no.
You'd have to have a 2nd gen over USB-C.
Yep.
For your Mini. And that's where it gets confusing. But here, so I think what's now going to happen, Ben, is basically for the iPad Airs and Pros going forward, you've got, okay, let's just clear this up, right? iPad 10th gen, you get the USB-C pencil if you want it. The Airs, you can have the USB-C or the Pencil Pro. And the same with the Pros, you have the Pencil Pro or the USB-C pencil.
I'm going off of US prices, this will change. It's $129 for the Apple Pencil Pro, so that is the price that the pencil's been, the first generation was $100, but since the second generation and beyond, it's been $129, and the USB-C now is $79.
That's right, which is actually fair, but the annoying thing about that is the Pencil second gen is still $129, so you kind of lose out there a little bit if you're on an older device.
Yeah, and for those wondering, like, I know it has the slide out. You could still plug in a USB-C to USB-C into your iPad, and then you have to weigh in the fact, for the extra money, do you want magnetic charging and do you want some of the extra features, or can you get by with, because the pencil has always charged pretty dang fast. I remember sometimes I brought it from 0 to 100 in literally like 5 minutes. Just pour yourself a cup of coffee.
And it makes an interesting question, right, for all of us. I don't think any of us are artists, right?
No, I tried.
No, I've tried as well. We have artists in my family. Honest question, I'll start with Alex. If you were getting a new iPad today, ignore your current iPads for a moment, and you were going to get a pencil, which would you choose, honestly?
Well, probably the Pro one, possibly, because...
Yeah?
Yeah, because if I was going to buy a new iPad Air, that's because it'd be nice to have it to wirelessly charge.
Okay, fair point, actually. And also, I guess depending on the apps you were using, that squeeze feature could be very handy because it is going to be through an API for developers to set up. That's a really good point.
But also, it's got the Find My support. That's the only Apple Pencil with that Find My support. What that looks like, true. I don't know. I don't know if it has a U1 chip inside. Probably does, but...
Oh, what, for the ultra-wide band where you can literally turn your phone?
Yeah, it probably does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Because it's actually, I have to admit, having ultra-wide band support and Find My for my keys, for my AirTags.
Well, I leave an AirTag in my car, so I know where I've left it.
I do that as well. And that way I know if someone took my car.
Yep.
Jay has more AirTags than an entire Apple store.
Yeah,
Jay,
I'm the reason why they had to increase the AirTag limit.
Oh, there's a limit, is there?
There is a limit. They increased. I think it's like 32 now.
That's fine, but...
She's nearly there, to be fair.
Jeez.
No, you're not that bad.
No, but I would have to say, and I'm being very sincere, I would have to weigh how much money I have at the time, because $80 is a tempting offer. I know I lose the squeeze and the charging... The Find My, but $129 is a big ask. It's $130.
That's true. That's true. For me, I think I would go Pro 2 because I would like that ability. But what I'm going to say is if I was just taking notes, right, just using something like GoodNotes, which GoodNotes has gone subscription. Ugh.
Oh, also, if you want engraving, you have to go the Pro.
Okay, you're not doing... Well, I'm a pencil, you mean?
No, because of the little pullout.
Oh, right, you can't... Yeah, okay.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I've never had an Apple Pencil engraved because...
I have.
Okay. The reason I haven't is because if I ever want to sell that pencil, it makes it really hard to sell if it's engraved.
The battery going to be still any good if you sell it? I mean...
Well, anyway. But no, for just note-taking, right? Even forget GoodNotes for a second. If you're just using Freeform or Apple Notes, do you need the functionality of the Pencil Pro?
If you're just doing that, you could probably just get the USB-C one.
That's what I'm thinking. So because that's honestly... Yeah.
because if you think about it, it's just like a stylus. I mean, I know it's a little bit more advanced than a stylus, but if you think about it, it is still a stylus. And the other features, like the haptic feedback and all that, turn it into more of a pencil feel. But again, right. If you're just doing notes, I honestly think the regular pencil.
Yeah. So then this brings me to, I don't think there's much more to say about the pencils. We know the lineup. I've been asking a question all the way through about Wi-Fi, and you might think, why do you care? It's because I want to ask Alex a question, and it comes kind of off the back of an event that Unify held that Alex hasn't actually watched yet. We have, but I think you know the gist of where they're going. And it's really interesting because they were talking about their Wi-Fi 7 products. Now, they do have Wi-Fi 7 products, but you will have also seen all the hype around, now, is it the Eero Pro Max 7, Jay, that's been the one that's been doing the virals?
Yes, that's the one that, like, Linus and all the different places, and that's why I've been seeing people saying, I threw away my Ubiquiti gear and I went with Eero and all that.
You threw it away while Eero paid you, and then exactly. You put it straight back up is what you probably did. So, Alex, genuine question, right? So we're talking the 10th gen and the iPad mini that are currently on offer have Wi-Fi 6. Mm-hmm. So 802.11ax is the standard for both 6 and 6e. Mm-hmm. Now, the iPads Air and Pros have 6e. So the question I want to ask you is, that's not Wi-Fi 7.
No.
Does it matter?
So, as I mentioned earlier, 6E does it on paper mean that it should have 6 gigahertz, but Apple's a little bit opaque when it comes to their spec sheets, where it's not 100% a given. I'd imagine it probably is. No, probably not. I can't off the top of my head remember all the benefits that Wi-Fi 7 has, but it is likely like Wi-Fi 6 tailored towards dense environments. The amount of device it can support is going to increase. Probably not. I mean, the amount of bandwidth that one device can pull is fairly limited.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because there's two parts to this, right? Why a higher throughput Wi-Fi is only good if you have the incoming WAN internet connection, for want of a better, to support it, right? Because if you don't have, I mean, realistically, unless you've got above a gigabit incoming connection, Wi-Fi 7 ain't going to help you.
Well, also the other thing, to achieve those per client speeds, such as like 1 gig, which I did some testing with their Unify Express the other day and got over it with just under a gig peer to peer. You have to have channel widths of 160 megahertz. Now, if you don't live in the middle of nowhere like I do, you live with lots of neighbors, having 160 megahertz channel widths is being, and for no reason, is being quite a bad Wi-Fi neighbor. You're taking up a lot of spectrum. So, if you don't need it, then it's probably not like a neighborly thing to do in terms of spectrum reuse. So,
right, because that means you're hogging more of it. If you're in a dense, like a block of flats, like I am,
yep,
you're using more of the available spectrum just for your Wi-Fi. So really, your channel widths in that environment. And I think we've talked about this on a previous episode, if I remember correctly. We've talked about all of this. And
did a Wi-Fi episode, didn't we?
We did. We probably should do more Wi-Fi episodes because I think Jay's itching to talk more. We need to do some crossover episodes, get you and Evan back on the show again.
Yeah.
But hey, for all your Wi-Fi news and particularly Unify news, UI chat, check it out, folks. But that's the point. And also, let's not forget that these devices are not going to have the number of, I'm thinking like the 2x2, the MIMO.
Yeah, so like devices in the past, I remember my old iMac had like a 3x3 MIMO capable Wi-Fi chip. iPads, maybe iPads in the past have had it as well, but we're starting to see devices now going back to 2x2, mainly probably for battery life reasons, because you're opening up another one of those lanes for communications. But as Wi-Fi itself has improved over time, that's less of a requirement, and you still get the speed. So,
and that's it, right? I think Jay's doing that. No, Jay, not that 2x2. Okay, yeah, but go on.
So for context, I put in chat. Noah loaded the animals in the Arky 2x2.
I don't think Noah's Ark had Ubiquiti gear on it somehow.
You never know.
No. But the point I was trying to make about all this is just because other devices may have Wi-Fi 7 does not impugn, there you go, the connectivity quality of the iPad. Because what are you going to be doing on an iPad that needs multi-gigabit connectivity?
No. And also, like, I tend to view Apple's decision on when to adopt certain Wi-Fi standards as a very restrained take. Just without running too much down a rabbit hole, Wi-Fi standards themselves get ratified or signed off by the Wi-Fi Alliance. But from what I understand, Wi-Fi 7 has only just been signed off or has yet to be signed off.
Right.
And I don't think Apple is going to adopt Wi-Fi 7 possibly until... Or maybe the iPhone 16, or possibly maybe even the iPhone 17, because they want to make sure that nothing's going to go wrong. And you get companies like Netgear and Era that just jump on the bandwagon and do all these paid videos without too much of a consideration. So yeah, it's probably not really worth it.
that's why I asked.
Yeah, and like what you said, the people don't consider how fast their internet connection is, and I guarantee. Most people can probably get by on a 40 megahertz channel on 5 gigahertz. That's why I run at home. So.
And these devices are made a year or two prior in the pipeline. Mm. They've been making these chips for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's just ratified, and if you absolutely need that connection, there are Ethernet adapters. I've plugged my iPad into it for a meeting thing I was doing, and I plugged it in that way.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You know, that TS4 dock on an iPad Pro can do 2.5 gigabit Ethernet. If you're wanting that throughput, you're probably going to be at a desk doing something. Just plug it in.
Yeah, I've got my iMac plugged in the whole time. So
yeah.
My Mac Mini plugged in.
Oh, yeah. So and it's into a lovely little Flex Mini. I don't know who gave me that Flex Mini. I actually do know.
Someone very kind on not me, yes. Not me. So,
no, very, very kind of him to actually. I think I got all three of mine from you, didn't I? From Alex, yeah. I think I got all three of mine. Yeah, thank you, Alex. They are wonderful little switches.
Can I just geek out? I James's face when he opened that up was just like,
oh, yeah.
So I just so happy. And I just want to say, Alex, that made his day so much. So,
that's awesome.
No, it was really good. We will do it. Look, go back and check our Unify episodes. Go and check out UI chat. But I just wanted to do that little diversion. Now, I mean, look, the iPad lineup at the moment, let's go back to the choose an iPad, okay? Because I think this might be our rounding out thoughts, right?
Until the Final Cut, and I want to go over the Final Cut stuff.
Oh, I do. You're right.
I think we missed something as well. You know the base iPad? That's now got a landscape camera.
Oh.
Yes, it does. Well, it was the first to get the landscape camera.
Oh, was it? Have I missed that already?
Yeah, that was in the 10th gen. So that is not a new device.
Okay.
But I'm glad that they've finally done this, because so many times you're like trying to like do either Face ID or you're trying to do something like, or like video chats are so awkward. You're just like, I'm over here. How are you doing?
Hello. It is really interesting. Now, can someone just quickly check on the 10th gen iPad price? Because we are going to loop back to the Pro apps, actually. So thank you, Jay.
The 10th gen iPad price is now $349.
Right.
Yeah. It's $349 in the UK because the prices are exactly the same, which actually disadvantages me and James. So.
Well, no.
No, it doesn't.
Does it not anymore?
Not as much as you'd think, because remember...
Oh, yes.
Remember, our US cousins do not have sales tax included on anything.
Yes.
So if you take our price, take off 20, say, well, their sales tax is different, but it gets very messy. Go on.
$349 in American money is $443. So
well, take off 20%
on an iPad. Don't use my credit card.
$249. Oh, it's like £5-6 more.
Right. Basically. It's not much, really, is it?
No, it's not, is it? No.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. As Jack says in our chat, they add their taxes afterwards, so impractical to compare. Yes, so impractical. It's
I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting one. But at $349, okay? $350, let's call it $350, okay? I hate the 49. I know why they do it. I know why companies do a pound less or a penny less.
Dear, you're going to be getting a $375 charge on your undercard. The tax on that was $26.18.
Okay, right. So, yeah, we still pay maybe a little. We probably pay a little bit more. Anyway, the point
I'm looking forward to this new iPad. No, kidding.
The point I'm trying to make is that at $349 or pounds, $350, okay, but again, I think that 10th gen is such a good tablet, such a good device. Now, yes, you can get cheaper tablets, and we know that because we helped, you know, we helped Jay's sister buy or help people to buy her for her birthday a Android tablet, and that's because she's in the Android ecosystem and did not want to go iPad. And I get that, but for me, iPad is the best tablet experience, I would say.
Honestly, again, weigh the tension versus the iPad Air. I would definitely say I would go iPad Air and 11 inch because I'm sorry, I don't. Well, one, my purse is, I can't fit a thing anything bigger than 11 inch in my purse, but also I don't need the pro stuff. I honestly, I don't need that. I just need stuff to like do a little bit of content creation, but I'll mainly consume stuff.
Well, that's it. And I think the iPad Air is, if you are not, that the iPad, I think is, the iPad is a great device. The iPad 10th gen is a great device for, you know, I actually nearly got someone I'm helping with tech onto one. They decided to go a little, because it was a bit more at the time. They went for the 9th gen. Wish we'd waited a little bit, to be honest. But I think if you just want a tablet computer and you don't do much more than web browsing, chatting, and consuming content, 10th gen is perfect.
Absolutely.
If you want to create or do some more serious stuff, I think the iPad Air is brilliant. And I think, Alex, you were... Am I right, Alex? You'd probably in the market for a 13-inch iPad Air right now.
That's what I ideally want, because the equivalent version would be like over 1,000.
Right.
Of the Pro, so yeah.
And did you realize all of our devices now, all of them can fit into an envelope like the MacBook Air could, and I still remember the old commercial, the I'm a new soul. I'm gonna stop right there with that song. I always and that was, it could fit into a mailing envelope, and now they all can.
Well, yep. That's it, right? And you know, remember that MacBook Air was not a success.
No,
it wasn't until we got the next gen, the 11 inch and the 13 inch, that the MacBook Air became a powerhouse and the sales revolution is. But the iPad Air, great device. Again, you get a lot more features. You get a lot more connectivity. You know, USB-C, 3.2, I think it is.
Yep.
Is more than fast enough for most, you know. No, I mean, you know, pen drives. I've got a little caddy there from connected to my Mac Mini, which is a NVMe SSD to USB 3.something. That's perfect for me.
Perfect.
You know, I can still do external displays. You know, I can connect it to a Vocaster if I want to, and I can do anything I need to with it. But I think the pro is, if you are probably what I would say is, and this is where I want you to, before, if you are a creative professional who relies on call accuracy, who wants really, really fast workflows, because you saw a lot of CAD workflows that have been boosted by the new processor. You see, I mean, games performance on these new things looks incredible.
Well, and factor in one of the things, especially on the Pro, that amazing access to like a high definition display. I mean, you literally could do a lot of things that you would do on a laptop on an iPad.
Well, this is what I want to, because a lot of the commentary around these iPads has been, they're still not a Mac. They're still not running Mac OS. And I want to, I get where people are coming from, right? But I'm sorry. I don't want Mac OS on a tablet.
Yeah.
No.
It's not. Yes, I'd like more power features out of the iPad. And look, at this point, we have not yet seen iOS 18. We have had a preview of what's going to be coming into iOS 18. Obviously, Apple have teased a lot of AI features. Mm-hmm. Now, that's going to be really powerful, because you think about what that means. These systems on a chip have incredibly powerful neural engines, neural processors. That should enable on-device AI. And someone on Mastodon said, in a way, I'm paraphrasing, me effectively saying, in a way, I hate the fact that Apple cares so much about privacy that it means that their AI is not as advanced as others. But actually, I don't know about the rest of you two. I'd much rather have AI privacy.
Oh, me too. I mean, can I just bring up a quick tangent? Like, I switched from a Ring doorbell to a HomeKit doorbell. My new doorbell is HomeKit. It is local machine learning on faces. It recognizes faces really well. Like, it tells me, hey, your sister's here, or hey, it's you. But that's not being fed into a global cloud of recognition. No. And I would much prefer that than I would much prefer a local recognition and local AI than a global system.
Well, just to loop back to our our fandom of Unify. Alex, all of Unify's AI stuff is on camera, isn't it? That's all on camera.
Yeah, so if it's detecting vehicles, people, animals and things, the camera does all the work and it will pass that back to the MVR itself. So
James, you just got caught up by our mod, Jack.
I know. I just panicked. Hey, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant at all.
Don't make me wash your mouth out with soap when I come out there in August.
Okay. You know what I meant, folks. Anyway, the point is, on-device processing is much better for privacy. It's really interesting. But the point is, we have not yet seen iOS 18. We know that there's going to be AI features because Apple has started to announce that. And honestly, some of the accessibility stuff. Now, Jay, I think, am I allowed to talk about this? The accessibility stuff that they previewed, one of them was getting Siri to understand non-typical speech patterns.
Which, now, can I say, for me is good because I have noticed compared to Madam A is Amazon's mm-hmm. device.
Lady in a tube.
Yeah. Siri has actually done better at knowing when I stutter or when I change a phrase. But you go even further. I'm just putting myself out there. But one of our family members, I'm excited for too. Go on, dear.
Well, no, that's exactly as good. I mean, look, your brother-in-law. And because I actually sent the link to your sister.
Siri, stop.
Well, thanks, Siri, for ruining that recording. And it's all good. Right. One of Jay's brother-in-laws, who we love so much, had a stroke, has obviously, as a result, got impaired speech.
With, I'll say what they are, aphasia and apraxia.
Right. Still as sharp as a penny, literally. Yeah. But it was no impairment in terms of capacity. But obviously they struggle with their speech. I sent the link to Jay's sister to say, hey, I'm really excited about this for your husband. She said, oh, this looks so cool. I could see the excitement in her reply.
Oh, yeah.
And I think iPad OS, in fact, all of Apple's OSs, accessibility is not just an afterthought. It is baked into the core. It's one of the reasons I moved to Mac, right? Back in the day, Windows was useless at accessibility. You had to have extra software just to zoom in the screen. Whereas on my Mac, I could just do control and scroll wheel. And I think that, or command. There were keyboard shortcuts to zoom in. It had OS level screen zooming, which is incredible. Yeah. VoiceOver, everything. I mean, natural the light, so much stuff. But let's wait for WWDC. Now, we're going to probably do another live watch party. I'll be up at my parents, but probably a week or so after, we'll record another episode like this where we do a deep dive. Let's talk, though, about Pro Apps quick. Let's make our final thing Pro Apps. Now, I know all three of us have Final Cut. Alex, you're probably more of a heavy Final Cut user than I am at the moment because I'm not doing as many videos as I should be. And Alex's videos are amazing. So,
please follow the interface on YouTube as well. I'm actually a convert from Adobe Premiere. I used to be huge in Adobe Premiere. I'm a convert back to Final Cut for a variety of reasons.
Now, you're doing all of this on my Mac at the moment. Final Cut on my Mac is really powerful. And in fact, they actually made it a little bit more powerful with bringing in this, I forgot what they called it, but the magic color thing, the thing that is on It's in Final Cut 10.8.
Yes.
It's for, yeah. But what do you think to Final Cut on the iPad?
I love this. Can I share one of the things I did years ago in video production that would have made things so much easier?
Yeah.
I used to do wedding photography and wedding video. Not anymore. Okay. But I did it once, and I did a multi-camera shoot. Oh, my gosh. It would have been so nice. So they have come out with not only Final Cut, but Final Cut Camera. Final Cut
Is
Camera.
Is it out yet?
I should actually check.
It says coming soon. Coming this spring. Yeah.
Okay. This spring. Okay.
So Final Cut Camera is a free app, which will let you record video and like do all the different like settings that you need to. Sherlocking Filmic, and for good reasons, because Filmic itself, the company has gone way downhill. But anyway, like a free camera, you could. But if you connect it with Final Cut on Mac or iPad, am I right?
I think it's just an iPad.
So if you have Final Cut running on an iPad, which requires a M series chip, so unfortunately, iPads do not have that.
No.
But if you have Final Cut running on an iPad, you can in live time receive video or watch the video. So it also brings in, because Adobe had this really cool app a long time ago. It was Adobe, but it would let you watch video that was hooked up to a computer. I used this when I used to do my own like video in my basement. I literally had a Mac, or I had a computer hooked up to my FireWire camera.
Oh wow! But
this will let you watch the video, do color grading, check all that stuff, and even manually press record, manually color grade the Final Cut camera things from one iPad. So you can have a director doing stuff, and then that director can even like go between the different shots that are all connected to it over. And I'm like, that is really dang cool.
I mean, bear in mind, that's over wireless connectivity for a start. It's called Live Multicam.
Yes.
Looks incredible, but not just that. The abilities, I mean, they're like, I think one of the things they were showing was the ability to lift subjects out of the light, video subjects out of the background in Final Cut on the iPad.
Without having to have a solid color background.
Yes, without keying. Yeah, without any sort of keying. Now,
they were doing a live stream, I believe. I could be wrong, but I thought they were doing a live stream.
No, it wasn't live stream. No, okay. No, it was. But I've used LumaFusion and I own LumaFusion on my iPad, and that is great for editing. Honestly, it's great for quick edits. But the power of Final Cut on the iPad, on the iPad Air M2, any iPad Air actually, but it's M series or the Pros, is going to be powerful. This live multicam feature, we are seeing, I mean, all of Apple's stuff, apart from like drone shots, obviously, are all shot with iPhone.
Yep.
I'm recording this episode with my iPhone 15 Pro. I think, Alex, what are you on? You're just...
Well, I'm just on the iMac. I'm a different desk base to usual. Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, the camera still looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
But the 15 Pro
That's
is
why
a stunning
camera. Podcast, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yep. Very good.
Nice. But yeah,
I wish the Continuity camera did 4K rather than 1080p, but it still is very good.
I wonder if that will change with Final Cut camera. Anyway, go on.
Can I also just say I love how Apple's divorcing themselves from the computer, because I did a phone call today with my HomePod.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, people have always been scared that the Mac's going to die off because of the iPad. I don't think that's ever going to be the case.
Especially because Sidecar, I mean, there's so many ways you can do things. I think the iPad is an extension. In some cases, it has replaced the Mac. In some cases, because like,
yes,
my grandmother, she was the first person in our family to have an iPad, and literally, it was perfect for her because she didn't want to be hunched behind a computer. She was literally answering all of her emails on the iPad.
My parents have my old iPad Pro 9, the original 9.7 inch. That is their only computer in my house. Well, beyond all the junk ones that are probably still in the loft, but it's really interesting. Yeah, the Mac's going nowhere because there's still a lot of software. But Final Cut wasn't the only app that got a bit of an update. Logic Pro.
Yes.
Got a big update. Now, a lot of cool little things, but one of the things that really impressed me is this idea of the stems. We can take an existing file, an audio file, and split it into its component parts.
Mm.
It can take music and split it down into the drums, into the vocals.
I actually I've messed with this for podcast editing and all that years ago using Isotope, and that took a lot of work on a PC/Mac at the time. The fact that they can do this on an iPad is pretty dang cool.
Well, that's it. The power, again, musicians. We were talking to our friend Sonata, who we're going to have on the show to talk about the music of games, right?
Yes.
Because it's a really interesting topic. But he does work and stuff. I think that excited him. And the ability to have all these session drummers and session bass and guitars. Look, I mean, I played with GarageBand on my iPad. I haven't used Logic because the AMI don't have an MPC of his chip for a start. But the ability to make music anywhere and the fact that you'll be able to connect audio interfaces, you know, I could right now, if I took, you know, my Vocaster out, I could sit on my iPad and just record with it, with any USB-C mic, actually. In fact, I've just realized something. The biggest challenge we always had with our previous recording platform.
I was just about to mention this.
Go on.
There's an app for, there's actually an app for macOS coming soon with this software, which is, what's the name of the, Riverside.
We're using it.
You guys are using it. Oh,
we're
cool.
Using the beta.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then there's actual native apps, because I filmed a couple of podcasts with people on their phones, and I hadn't realized that they were on their phones until afterwards, and some of the video got messed up, so I had to rely on the backup. So that's really cool that Riverside has got dedicated apps for its software, so you can just use your iPhone for that.
It's going to be, well, that's exactly what I'm thinking. The iPad, particularly the power of these pros, I think just makes them a content creation. And if you are someone who needs a bigger screen, you know, imagine video production on that 13-inch iPad Pro. Yeah, it's out of probably our price ranges for most of us. But for content creation, for directors, for musicians, it's such a great option. I'm excited. So go on, Jay.
And Logic Pro, I have recorded and edited podcasts on it. It's not my preferred editor, but I have done it. And
but that's old Logic Pro, Jay. This is the Logic on the iPad is so different.
True. Cut this.
No. I'm not going to cut it because it's a valid point. What we I think, and this is maybe actually that Jay that makes a really good point. Okay, when we're looking at what the iPad Pros can do, or any M series iPad, okay? What when you look at an Air or a Pro, and you look at the Pro apps or creative apps, I think you have to disengage the connection between what you've seen before on a Mac. For example, I've used and I know Jay has. I've used lots of podcasts, audio editing apps across multiple platforms. Ferrite, for me. And we've got a great interview with Canis on the making of Ferrite. It feels natural. It feels so much natural to work with, effectively work with an audio pad, right? That's how I see Ferrite. And then be able to take my affinity projects onto my iPad with a optimized infrastructure, optimized tool set. So Jay, what's your question?
Does Final Cut work on the Airs or just the Pros? Oh no!
Anything with an M series chip.
Yeah, because you can install. So you don't even need the Pro iPads to do these features. I mean, obviously you'll have some performance bottlenecks depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, anything with an M series chip will run it. I mean, you could my MacBook Air far outperforms with video rendering performance of my old beast of an Intel iMac, which had 64 gig of RAM. And it had a relatively powerful chip. Anything M-Series is going to blow that stuff away. I mean, Alex, you moved from an Intel machine to M-Series for video production at some point, I believe.
Yeah, I actually bought an M1 iMac before I even started doing YouTube stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, sort of a happy coincidence.
So you've never experienced the pain of editing on an Intel?
Okay. No.
What about you, Jay? Have you actually moved across platforms so much. You've moved, you're at Premiere on Wintel, you've had an Intel Mac, multiple Intel Macs, and now you're on M Series for your Mac Mini. Have you found the M Series, the ARM based, basically, is it better for editing video?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, the old adage was you had to be on a MacBook Pro to get any decent editing. And now I'm on a pretty bare bones Mac Mini, which I never would have expected to do good at video editing on, because I had a MacBook Pro before I moved to this. And if I ever, and honestly, I think the M Series takes away so much of the heavy lifting on stuff that you can get away with a non-pro device, and really ask yourself, do you need to spend the money on a Pro Series moniker on anything?
No. Well, and I think that brings up my final point, right? If these devices, right, if you're currently on a previous gen M Series iPad, you've got to ask yourself, do you actually need to upgrade? I know we want to upgrade. It's a kind of this recurring theme, isn't it? But we talk about sustainable, don't throw away stuff. I think, honestly, though, if you're coming from a non-M Series iPad and you like Alex, for example, and you want to start doing creative stuff, I think these new machines are a perfect option, especially those Airs. Yeah, Alex, to wrap up, any final thoughts on what Apple have sort of brought to the, well, table?
I think it's a good update that they've made the cheap iPad cheaper. They launched the new iPad Pro. Air's a good update. The only downside of the event was the iPad Mini didn't get any love, which is a bit of a shame. So,
yeah, when's the last time it got updated?
Well, the current one, the 6, like the new design, I think that was 2021.
And is that an M Series? It's not, is it?
It's an A14.
I mean, look, the iPad Mini's always been a bit, because it is weirdly priced. The iPad Mini used to be the cheapest iPad.
Yeah. Well, pretty much.
Well, it was. I mean, it was. But it's not anymore. It's like, it is, I think it's actually, it sits between the 10th gen and the Air. And I don't understand that.
But no, it was at one point it was just a small iPad Air, which made sense. But yeah, but for what I use it for, it's perfectly fine.
Oh no, I'm sure it's a great device. I'm not impugning. What I mean is when the original iPad Mini came out, it was at about the £240 mark.
Yeah, I bought that one, the original one.
Mm. And that was I had both, because sometimes you just wanted my iPad Mini was effectively my Kindle replacement.
Yep.
For a lot of purposes.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's my take. Jay, what about you? I mean, what's your, obviously, if for now, what's your take on where we stand with the product lineup?
I think that it's still a little confusing, in my opinion, with the 10th gen iPad. I just find that a little confusing with the iPad, because to me, I always think Air always had been the best or the lightest iPad. The iPad was the one that had more features than the Pro. So I think the Air is a misnomer in many ways. I know it's light, but I'm still of the old adage where I used to think it was. Yeah. And now iPad is the iPad itself. And I say that the iPad, to me, I think that they should probably drop the Air moniker and just say iPad and iPad Pro, because
I'm going to argue against that, because there is a reason. Let me give you the reason. Education. The education market will not want to spend the money on the iPad Air. The iPad is the perfect device for school use. It is, again, a perfect just a tablet device.
Well, what I'm thinking is the iPad Air next generation becomes iPad, and they make they bring this current Air to be that the iPad right now, the 10th generation is the cheapest because it's the oldest one. I think going forward, you just have a cheap iPad, like an M4 iPad, and you have the M5 iPad. I mean, I think if you drop the Air going forward and just have iPad and iPad Pro, I can have iPhone and iPhone Pro. I think if we...
But you don't have MacBook and MacBook Pro. You have MacBook Air and MacBook Pro.
But you don't have MacBook, unless I'm mistaken. You don't have...
Not anymore. So, well, and that was a really interesting thing, wasn't it? But when the MacBook existed, it was actually more expensive than the MacBook Airs.
Yes, and I think that's why I think we need to get to a place where we can drop these. The lineup is still confusing if you're trying to decide where to go. That's at least my opinion. I mean, it's getting better, but I still think it's a little confusing.
Okay. All right. Alex, I'd love your take on that because it's an interesting point.
I've always thought it's a bit confusing that the nomenclature behind it.
Mm.
What would you call the iPad 10th gen for education? I don't think they can make an iPad Air at the same price as that iPad, unfortunately. Top of those specs, they need a middle one. Oh, do they? Yeah, I don't know. It's so confusing. It would be nice to have the grid of four that Steve Jobs had, the consumer and the pro of everything. But we unfortunately haven't got that. You've got to have the Goldilocks. You've got to have the middle best and best. Middle better and best. So
but we don't have that grid of four even in the Mac space anymore. We do on the notebooks. We have Air and Pro.
Yeah. Right.
On the desktop as well, we don't. We have four.
Yep.
Yeah. And all,
two consumer and two pro.
Well, no. No.
No?
Because you've actually got three on the desktops. Yeah. On the desktops, yes. Sorry, I was thinking desktops, you've got the Mini and the iMac. And then you've got the Studio and the Pro.
Yep.
Which is still a bit of an odd. Yeah, but... Okay, I mean, yeah. But it's...
Because I am still confused. Like, to me, iPad Air would be the... I know it's the thinner one, but it seems like it would be the cheaper one, and the Mac and the iPad would be the more expensive one. And that's where I'm... In my head, it's still confusing.
But that... I mean, that hasn't been the case in the iPad lineup for a very long time.
I know. I'm just trying to think of a new consumer coming into the store being like, no, I want iPad. You want iPad Air, iPad, or iPad Pro? I want iPad. And I'm trying to think.
Well, that's where that 349, if you've got someone coming in who is, again, going back to my point of content consumption and browsing an email, that's your iPad customer. Okay. Your Air is your, I'm a bit of a creative and I might want to do some content or more work on it. And my Pro is, yep, give me all the power. And I don't personally, okay, I'm going to open this up. Folks, if you're, you know, obviously listening, post-recording, podcast@crosswires.net, come and join me Discord, crosswires.net/Discord. Come and tell us what you think. I want to hear from people. But for me, that lineup kind of makes sense. But I do get where you're coming from, Jay. It's almost confusing.
Yeah.
What if you were to do iPad, iPad Plus, and iPad Pro?
The problem with the Plus is the Plus has always been the bigger screen. So
gotcha.
I'm actually amazed what we don't have is iPad Air, iPad Air Plus, iPad Pro, iPad Pro Plus. But they haven't done that. And in fact, they don't do that on the Macs either, if you think about it. They've always delimited it by screen size.
That is very true.
So, and in fact, even now, hang on. Yeah, because on yeah, because is there a Mac size? Is there an iPhone 15 Max or is it just the iPhone 15?
It's called iPhone 15 Plus.
Yeah, which is really interesting because it's not called Plus. I'm a Pro.
Yep.
It's Pro Max. Look, Apple's naming... Jay, I'm not all disagreeing, but the naming convention is weird, but I don't think you'd want to... Oh, iPad Lite, iPad Max. No, you can't call it... you can't call it the iPad Max, because that sounds like that is going to cause someone to go into the wrong store and ask for iPad Max and come out with something completely different.
Is that why someone told me to put it? Never mind. That makes a good point. I like that. I like that the iPad Lite.
iPad. Yeah, that could work.
Though the only thing with the only issue with the iPad Lite, and again, I'm not trying to be pedantic. The only thing is it make the iPad Lite sound like you're missing features from the iPad.
Because you but yeah. Wait a minute. What about iPad SE?
Yeah, that's better. That's much better, actually, yeah. iPad SE, iPad, iPad Pro.
I like that. Because just like the Watch SE, because you know when you buy the Watch SE, it's a special edition, yeah.
And then the iPad Mini could just be a smaller version of the iPad.
What, and bring it back down in price again?
Well, yeah, but it would just be a smaller screen size version of the middle.
Oh, of middle, a regular iPad. Child, yeah. Of a middle child, right.
Yeah, but... Because I know Kindle is amazing and I've seen a lot of Kindle to have one, but an iPad Mini I believe iPad Mini had a True Tone with a True Tone display. It is that eye strain is not the same as it was on old iPads.
Yep. Well, I've got mine with a 5G SIM card in it. Oh, so whatever I'm out and about, I don't even use my phone that much to see the iPad. So.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. But 5G, that makes a lot of sense. All right, there we go, Apple.
Yep.
That's your credit to James, Jay, and Alex.
And send checks to Crosswires.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, yeah, we'll divvy it up with Alex. Well, I mean, effectively, you are honorary Crosswires absolutely. At this point, Alex. I think.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, heck. Cross charging status started out as a co-production between our two little empires.
The media empires.
We're not media empires. I mean, you know, one day. Anyway.
One day, Gadget, we'll get them one day.
Gadget. So, right. On that note, let's wrap up because I'm very much aware of time. Alex, thank you so much as always for being here. Where can people find more of the Alex doesn't pay us, by the way, to have him on the show and plug his content. We genuinely like Alex's content.
Thank you.
Where can people find your stuff?
So technology news, automotive news, theinterface.uk. It's a brand new website. I don't know if you've seen the old one, but trying to something new with Webflow now. And then we've got three podcasts. We've got Charging Status, UI Chat, and Creative Spotlight. So different podcasts for different people. And then last thing is I've got automotive videos over on YouTube as well. So the Interface Cars, go and check those out. Thank you.
And of course, if you want, Alex also works for Hostify, who do some really cool Unify videos as well. So there we go. Those are made by you as well, aren't they?
They are. There you go.
Jay, I was going to say, where can we find you? But everybody knows where to find Jay. You're... Sorry, that sounded really, really stalkerish. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Okay?
You know where to find me. I'm over here. Now I'm over here.
Oh, sorry. Do you know where my mind just went? To Liam Neeson in Ted 2.
I was thinking that tricks is for kids. Am I going to get in trouble for buying this?
No, you should be good.
You're not going to know anybody? No, we don't have the budget for
that. We don't have a budget. And speaking of not having a budget for that.
I'm going to remember you. I would prefer you if you did it.
And on that note, Jay, thank you very much for being here, of course. Do check out crosswires.net for more information. Thank you so much to Riverside for possibly, I'd say so far, one of our best recording experiences. And the live stream. Yes. Thank you, Twitch chat, for your entertaining comments. We'll announce more about how we're going to be doing and maybe when, because I don't think every episode's going to be live streamed. It will very much depend on guests.
Guests and timing, because, I mean, I know sometimes it's nice, some episodes it's nicer to do those not live, so we will figure that part out. But I definitely am glad we're doing live again.
Absolutely. Right. Let's roll the outro. Where's me mouse gone? Lost me mouse.
You don't need a mouse. You got an iPad.
Thanks. thanks for listening to this episode of Cross Wires. We hope you've enjoyed our discussion, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. So please drop us a note over to podcast@crosswires.net. Why not come and join our Discord community over at crosswires.net/Discord? We've got lots of text channels, we've even got voice channels, and we've got forum posts for every episode that we put out there. If you are Mastodon, you can also follow us either by heading over to wires.social or just follow crossed@wires.social.
If you'd like to check out more of our content, head on over to crossedwires.net/YouTube for all our videos, and keep an eye on our Twitch channel at crossedwires.net/live for our upcoming streams.
If you like what you heard, please do drop a review in your podcast directory of choice. It really does help spread the word about the show.
And of course, if you can spare even the smallest amount of financial support, we'd be incredibly grateful. And you can support us at ko-fi.com/crossedwires. That is ko-fi.com/crossedwires.
Until next time, thanks for listening.